Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jeffrey TV Podcast. Happy Friday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey, and I've made it to another Friday, another work week. 8 more hours on duty, on call, taking calls. Then I get 2 days off. One of which, if not two, I would very, very love to get in my storage and work. My weight is up. I've been indulgent, but I'm a lot better. 221 this morning, which is like, I would say 16 pounds. I think 205 is realistic. If I could do 205, that'd be amazing. Because when I get down that low, things start to get difficult to keep it that low. So 205 is a good target, even though I got it down below 200 a couple times. But I can do it. I just gotta get myself together. And being out here doing this is one way. Enough about me. Let's talk about you for a while. Okay, let's not. Let's go back to talk about me. After all, this is Jeffrey TV. What else you expect to see on Jeffrey TV? What do you possibly think that you're gonna see when you watch Jeffrey TV anyway? Enough with the monologue. Let's get to the topic at hand. Last night, I got off work, threw on a shirt. Actually, I threw on my jersey for some reason. I threw on my jersey, went to take the garbage out on my way to the car, because I was going someplace. So I picked up my garbage, picked up my book bag, walked out, wearing my jersey. I was wearing my 420 Funk Mob shirt, but I took that off because I weigh 221 now. And I was feeling a little bit bulgy. So I wore that and I went, took the garbage out, then got in the car because the car's down by the garbage. So I get in the car, I'm looking around. I didn't have my jacket. Thought I had thrown it away. But in the house, I had picked up the garbage and not my jacket. And it was kind of chilly. And the thing was, I didn't know if I wanted to be P-Funk 1 at the Mint last night. I didn't know if I wanted to have that, I don't know, added attention or be advertising like that or, you know, be that guy. I was gonna wear my jacket, you know, and play it down, downplay it. Cause it was kind of cool outside. So, I get in the place. I gotta walk in there as P-Funk 1, looking around, seeing people. I forget every time going out who I am. I forget every time who I am. Because it was, once again, amazing. People seem like they playing bands, seem like it's either me getting soft or pandemic stricken. But I've been going out and seeing some bands and stuff. But everybody seems to be playing good. Maybe the musicians who've been off are hungry, you know, maybe their energy, you know, maybe they, you know, they, I don't know, desperately want to play, whatever you want to call it, you know, ready, conditioned, fresh, or whatever. Maybe they had time to concentrate and hone their skills and work out a few things. Oh my goodness. Okay, last night, Delta Nove, Bobby Easton. And I'd be joking, you know, teasing them. about his brand of music. You know, it has a go-go flair to it, but there's a lot of percussion over the top. So I'd be teasing, he'd be like, whoop, that's what I'd be teasing his music sound like. But last night, Jesus H. Christ, they were frighteningly good. They were frighteningly good, embarrassingly good almost. He was so good, I almost couldn't look him in the face. Mr. Easton, oh my goodness. One thing about Mr. Easton too, he knows the P-Funk sound. Not what licks are played, well, he knows that, but you know, not what licks are played, not how the music's played, whatever. It's the sound. He can dial in that sound and that feel and maybe that style and blend it with other things, with his style of Brazilian go-go, whatever kind of music that is. Because I was hearing stuff and it was so attractive because it was something I'm used to hearing. And I may not even realize it until I'm listening to his tones and the things he was doing with his little, little sound effect box. He had a 808 in there, deep bass and some other stuff, noises that fit right in and gave the music a nice little kind of rhythmically, I don't know what the word is, I can't figure that one out. But anyway, just like little noises and stuff, just put it right into the music to give it that little extra snap and energy. It was just freaking good. I told him too. And I told this girl, I was like, damn, he's good. Don't tell him. Don't tell him I said it. It was freakishly and frighteningly good. But one thing I noticed, and maybe not a but I was like, you know, they started playing a song. And the bass line was just nasty. It was just slapping people. I was like, what the hell is that? It made me walk to the front of the stage. I was like, oh my God. And they kept playing it through. And the way they was hitting, the word I kept, it had a sinister feel to it. Like that P-Funk music, even though it was happy, I mean, not happy, or platonic, or whatever that music is, celebratory, whatever you're gonna call that P-Funk music is, which I like to call platonic. But whatever you call that, it was hard, it wasn't sappy, it was just kind of, not angry, but something like that. And then after the show, after they finished, I saw the bass player, I was like, man, what the heck? He said, yeah, I was trying to be a bit offensive. I was like, that's the fucking word. That's the fucking word, offensive. It's him and his brother played drums, and they sat in with Delta Nova. My name is Jeffrey, I'll be back. So what was I saying? So after the set, I was talking to the bass player, and I found out that they're brothers, and they had to set in with Delta Nova. And for me, the more sinister, hard, whatever, aggressive, offensive way they played the music up against Delta Nova's, in my mind, traditional, softer, more rhythmic-y style. And when I look and think of their fans, the demographic of their fans, I'm thinking, ooh, is y'all gonna like this? But you know, that's just here or there. Mr. Easton, I'm sure, smart enough to work all that out. No doubt, because I mean, he was just good. The tones he was making, the things he was doing with the band. I'm sitting there, of course, I end up with a chair sitting like right in front of the stage. Everybody else was kind of pulled back and back behind me. Definitely pulled back and definitely behind me. So I'm just like sitting right there, looking them dead in the face. And they were doing some stuff with the rhythms and the song that I thought, I was like, they, it's like this jam, it's like this, they were jamming. It was almost like a jam session, but it was a song and it was orchestrated. So there were changes and breaks. And I'm thinking, wow, how do you write that? How do you write that increase in energy and flows and the, you know, wait for it and the, until we come back to it and to keep the energy going, to have it feel like it's a living, moving thing, but it's a song that's orchestrated and there's patterns that are defined. To actually write a song that emulates a unsupervised groove, but it's actually building the horns, the way the horns come in and they build to it. And they build to it, then they drop it, and then they come back to it, and they have it just to keep driving like that. I was like, Cause my style or way or whatever is to get it in a live session. That's why I like to have live, unsupervised, unchoreographed, uncharted sessions and let people just, you know, go for it and build to that thing. That's my idea of it. But I'm thinking, I'm like, damn, so somebody sat out and wrote all this. So, cause the whole band is playing it. So you got keyboards coming in and horns coming in and different things coming in different areas and different parts at different times with different rhythms that add to it. And it was like, wow, somebody, I could see how that could take probably a long time. I can see how that could probably take a long time to do, to figure out not only how to do that, but to put something together that intricate and that funky with that much movement for a whole band of percussions and horns, keyboard, bass, you know, all of it, guitars, for it to all come in with vocals and such. Yeah, it was good. It was really good. I was like very, very impressed. Frighteningly impressed even. And then Weapon of Choice came on. Django was there, that Negro. Got me for his bar tab, which, you know, I'm cool with it. I learned a lesson. It was like, hey, I was like, let me buy you a drink. So, you know, I buy him a drink or whatever. I said, put him on mine. And she comes back, well, you know, he got like 17 drinks. I was like, how much? I was like, I don't even know what I paid for. I'm just like, oh, whatever, you know. So Julio comes up, and it's Julio technically, for whatever reason, but it was really Lonnie up front. You know, they did a couple Weapon of Choice songs, but it was really Weapon of Choice. I'm not sure why they tagged it Julio does Weapon of Choice, but because Elizabeth Lee was there, Mark Cross was there, Pam Williams was there, Lonnie was in. Oh my God. The way he plays and sings and those bass lines, like in Hyperspice or whatever bass line, I'm sitting there. I know how tight they should be. I'm on top of it. I know exactly how top. And John Stewart on drum, they've been playing this music for a while. Nora was singing vocals with Django. And Mark Cross was there. I was like, hey, Mark Cross, you remember We'll Be White Black? I was like, I was like, you remember that? Way back in the day? I gotta go find that video and that tape or that audio, whatever I got. We'll Be White Black. It was I think Arik, Lonnie, Mark Cross, and some other people. I think Van Muse, I'm not sure who all was in it, but they were all mixed. They were all mixed people, biracial. It was the name of the band was We'll Be White Black. It was good, I always thought that was good. Anyhow, and I got a recording of it somewhere. Anyhow, to hear them play and do their thing, and I also noticed again, when Mr. Marshall's music playing that Nutmeg. Oh my goodness, the Nutmeg weapon of choice. 20 years. It's been 20 years. I told him, man, I said, I met y'all. It was like 20 years ago I met y'all. He said, yeah. We've been doing it for 25. He said, they've been doing it for 25. Norwood was talking about 30 and how many years they've been doing this. So I was up and we started talking to people about the Temple Bar outside. And it was good. You know, we just started reminiscing, seeing people because they come out for Weapon of Choice. You know, they come out. And like I said, Elizabeth Lee was there. And Pam Williams, I ain't seen her in probably 20 years. And her husband, I forget his name, Richie Rich, I think, something like that. Wow, if I remember that, woo, if I got that right. Because he played drums. You know, so it was good. And they start playing music. And again, I noticed the orchestration and the writing of the music to drive these grooves. It'll pull back off of them, tease you with it a little bit, then come back into it in a more intricate and syncopatic, symphonic way that it keeps you interested, it keeps the music interesting and moving. So I was like, wow. So I'm sitting here, you know, watching these two bands play. I mean, I would even say, great as far as bands go in LA and in our circle. And by great, I mean they've been playing here for a while, they've established themselves. And they got good band leaders who got chops. And they're complicated, work went into it. And I can see where though what I'm doing has an appeal. You know, that's the jam. People come in this jam and orchestrate it and let them fill it out and then build it later. I can see where I can learn. I knew it all along. I mean, I knew it all along that I needed song structure. You know, because you just can't do anything the whole time. Even though there are some songs that I listen to where it's the same riff pretty much all the way through. There's no changes or breaks. In fact, the music, I guess you could say, Del Nove, Weapon of Choice is almost like old school music. They probably don't even make music like that anymore. It's too complicated. I mean, that's what we're used to. We're used to those dun 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 dun, and the change, and we wait for dun 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 dun, and then it comes back and dun 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 dun, dun. And the music just changes to different parts, and you get back to that main nasty groove like Hyperspice. Oh my God. Ding, 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 ding. And that son of a bitch, Lonnie, be playing that shit so tight and just be singing and just be looking around doing whatever he's doing like he ain't paying attention. But that bass line is right where it should be. And believe me, I am on it. I am just naturally very sensitive to where that bass line hits with the drums and everything. Because it's like, it's the main groove. And he nails it with his singing and orchestrating and not even looking. He don't even be looking and doing it. It just be hitting that pocket. Oh, it's just beautiful. Then he'll throw a little bit of ad-lib stuff on it. Because, you know, we've been hearing this song for like 20 years or something. Same song, a couple songs he did on Who the Fuck Are You. He's put a little something on it to give it a little something extra. You know, you go, oh, yeah. But it was just good. It was just good. And I see those two bands play. And then Trulio came on afterwards. And even they were good. Even they were good. They did an improv one, opened it up, I believe. Jack Keller on bass, my God. John Stewart drum. Renette. And was there Tia? What's her name? Tia? Singing. Who else? Ben, guitar. Bobby Easton, guitar. Who else was over there? Eric Meyer, keyboards, horns, Flying J. Did I forget anybody? I don't think I did. Pam Williams on vocals. Elizabeth Lee on trombone. I don't think I forgot anybody. But anyhow, you know, just to hear them get together and do it. Django. Django was singing with them, I think. Yeah, he was. Shit, Django sang the whole night. Damn. Django sang with both bands. There was two bands on before, and this was one of the first times where I got there too early. I got there early, and one of the two bands that played before these two played, and you know, I was overhearing what was going on in there, and I was like, I ain't ready to go in. And I truly wasn't ready to go in and participate. So I went back to the car and waited. Hey, then when I pulled up, I was getting out of the car, somebody pulled in behind me. It was Fingers. And I was like, oh, it was good to see him, you know. After all he was going through and what he posted, you know, he said today he was cancer free. And then yesterday to see him, I was like, oh, I have the best life. I just have the best life. That's what how I think about it. Just think of it. He found out he was on his last cancer treatment today. And he posted that. And I see it. And then when I get to the venue, he pulls in right behind me and we kind of walk in together. And even though he got news that he was on his last chemo treatment, I feel like I got the best life. Reality is subjective, people. Reality is subjective. I'm trying to tell you. Choose your reality. That's how I choose to look at it. I was like, I have the best life. The news he got. And for me just to be, you know, not even involved with it, just to, you know, be whatever that was. I'm not even sure what it was. But anyhow, my name is Jerry. Swing on y'all two times. One time for me, one time for the funk. Ah, for me, for the funk, and for every elementary particle or atom that has ever existed in this or in any universe that is, was, or ever will be. It's about the totality of it all, y'all. All of it. All of it. Theory of universe. Not theory of the universe. Theory of universe. And hypothesis of all as one. Well, I wonder if I should throw in and everything meaning nothing. I'm going to probably try to work that in somehow. Anyhow, my name is Jeffrey. And guess what? I'm done. Podcast. How come this thing don't ever cut off?